And welcome everybody on our yellow sofa. I'm Signa.
And I'm Conley.
And we want to continue talking to you about modern day biblical miracles. One of the biblical miracles we were talking about today is when Jesus walked through that pool of Bethesda and looked at the people who were lounging in their infirmities around the pool, believing the legend that an angel from time to time would come and stir the waters. And the first one in the pool got healed. Sounds kind of like a kid's game, doesn't it? But there were evidently a lot of people who believed this, and they would hang around this place and wait for that magic moment when God would heal their infirmities. And one of the men the Bible talks about had been there for 38 years. Now, that's a generation. It's remarkable to me that he still had hope that something could happen. He was still there, but maybe he had nothing else to do.
He had to be desperate.
We can get desperate when we're really hurting, whether it's emotionally or physically. Anyway, Jesus walked up to this man, and I thought he said one of the most unusual, asking the most unusual question. He said, "Do you want to be whole?" We were thinking about, what if Jesus walks up to us in the midst of whatever we're struggling with today, looks us in the eye and says, "Do you really want to be whole?" "Oh, of course I do. That's what I've been praying about. That's why I'm here. That's what I've been waiting for." But wait, do we really? So the story we want to tell you today illustrates this particular question and how you might choose to answer it, how you might even choose to interpret the question, because it may not be just the face value you want to give it initially. So we're going to tell you a story about a friend of ours, about a lovely lady that we've known for several years, who was a member of our congregation. And Conley, this is really your story to tell because you are her pastor. You're the one who had the dealings with her. And although we're friends, I didn't know all these intimate details until she gave you permission to tell this.
Well, she was a delightful lady. She loved the Lord, a great prayer warrior. And before I really got to know her, what I knew about her was she was the first person whom I'd ever met who used two canes to walk. My experience was that most people that even carried a cane did so in case they would lose their balance and it would steady them.
Give her a name.
Rosemary. We'll give her Rosemary.
Rosemary.
And she had to have the canes just to stand up. She would put all her weight down on both canes anytime she was taking a step.
Now, what was the reason for her infirmity?
She had arthritis in both knees, and it was bad enough that she really could not walk without the canes.
Now, I can be sympathetic because I've had two full knee replacements, and I know the pain. Mine wasn't that bad that I had to use two canes to walk, but it's pretty painful when it's bone against bone.
I think most people today would use a walker, but she didn't want to use a walker because that was going to inhibit her mobility. She was not going to let the pain in her knees keep her from being who she thought God was calling her to be.
So she was still working as a nurse?
She was. Yes, she was. And she had been through various types of therapies, been different specialists, and none of them had been able to really help her situation. So she called me one day at the office and wanted to come in and talk to me about her situation. So obviously people knew Rosemary as the lady with two canes. And it didn't take long to get us to get to talking about this thing that she had struggled with for years. And she asked me, "Conley, do you think that your mental attitude can affect you physically?" And I said, "Yes, I do believe that." She said, "Well, I do too. That's really the reason that I'm have gone into nursing." And she said, "Let me tell you my story." And she had grown up the first few years of her life with a loving mother, and they were very close. But when she was a preteen, the mother died, And after about 2 years, her father remarried. And she and the stepmother had a horrible relationship.
Oh, this is the perennial fairy tale, right?
Oh, yes,
the evil stepmother.
That's right. But she said that she didn't know why, but she guessed maybe the stepmother was just jealous or something. But she could do nothing to please her stepmother. She was critical of her. She would criticize her in front of others. She would make demands that as a teenager she thought were just unreasonable.
And those preteen years are so impressionable anyway. So that just was embedded within her.
You are still struggling to find out who you are and you're comparing yourself to people around you. And as she became a teenager, the criticism got worse and her resentment to the stepmother got worse. And she said she guessed that really, if she would have admitted it, the resentment, the bitterness had gotten to the point beyond disliking this. It was as though she hated her stepmother and would avoid her whenever possible. When she got to be a young adult, the problems with her knees began to develop.
And so, most of us think of that as being an old age problem, but it's interesting it developed at a young age.
Yeah, Rosemary, well, I would say, was in her middle ages. It was something that she had lived with for a long time, but she wasn't going to have it limit who she could be. I admired her courage and her perseverance.
They often say that arthritis can have roots in bitterness and unforgiveness.
Right.
And she probably was well-educated enough to realize that.
Well, she was, and theologically, she understood that she could not carry that resentment and bitterness towards the stepmother through her life without it affecting her in other ways, but she was convinced that it had some relationship with the arthritis in her knees.
So did y'all do some confession forgiveness?
Yes, we did.
In your sessions together?
And Rosemary said that she had done whatever confession she could do on her own, and she confessed in church every Sunday during the liturgy. But she said she couldn't see that that had made a difference. Now, at this point in time in the church, we were doing a midweek service on probably a Tuesday night, a prayer and praise, and it was a very informal session in what we called our parish hall, which was a very large room that had no pews or anything, but we would set up folding chairs. Maybe 40 or 50 people would come. Our worship pastor would lead us in worship for maybe 30 minutes, and then we'd have a teaching on some biblical subject, and afterwards, I would extend an opportunity for those present to come up for prayer and laying on of hands.
Let me interject something real quickly, that in this particular season of this healing service, this midweek healing service, I remember one night a young woman who had suffered greatly from OCD and just had all kinds of relationship problems with it. I think she might have even had a bad marriage because of her condition. I can't remember all the details of that. But she came to us one of those nights when Conley issued the invitation, come up and we'll lay hands on you and we'll pray for you. And she said, everything has to be so ordered that it has destroyed the good of any relationship I've had with other people. Not just my husband, but friends and everything. And I didn't really understand how bad it could be till she started to explain it. But you don't have to understand it to pray for somebody.
No, right.
So we just laid our hands on her head and prayed, Lord Jesus, come and make right everything that's gone awry within her brain. All the different connections that the electrical parts of her brains make. Just make it right again where she can see things without this terrible distress of having it to be so ordered to feel perfect. And when I laid my hands on her, I literally felt like electricity go through my fingertips and touch her head. And she jumped. And she said, oh, I felt that. And I didn't even know what this meant at the time. But I said, it's like synapses in your brain are being rerouted, which was the weirdest thing for me to say because I didn't even know what I was saying. But God healed her that night. Mm-hmm. It was remarkable. I mean, through the following weeks, she gave testimony of how things had become normalized and her, I don't know, to me that was a miracle. But I say all that to preface the Rosemary story by God was already doing miracles in our midst in these midweek meetings we were having.
Well, people could come forward for prayer for anything. I mean, they tended to probably lift up issues that had something to do with what we've been teaching on. And this particular night that we're going to talk about the particular event that Rosemary was involved in, as I said, we were teaching on confession and forgiveness. And at the conclusion of the fairly brief teaching, when we invited people to come up, probably a dozen people came up and lined across the front of the chairs that were there. And I would go to each person and just ask them what they wanted prayer for and would offer a prayer and lay hands on them. And they didn't have to give me any specifics about what they were confessing. That wasn't important. Jesus knew what it was. And that's who the confession was directed towards, not towards me. So, well, I came to Rosemary knowing that she had had some struggles with confession and forgiveness, or thought that there was could be related to her physical problem. So, and she told me that during the teaching, she felt like that God had showed her an area in her relationship with her stepmother that she had just swept under the rug. She didn't realize that she had almost deliberately held on to something that the stepmother had done in her life that she had never consciously confessed. It's almost like she felt she deserved to be able to hold resentment in that area.
So she didn't have to tell you what it was. No, she told the Lord what it was.
All right.
But she just related to you that she had confessed this that night.
Right. And so I led her in a prayer of confession, not specifically naming the sin, but in order that she could verbalize, she can confess to God what it was that she was dealing with. And then once she had done that, we did something that for me is important. Then I led her in a prayer of receiving the forgiveness that God gives us through our confession in Jesus' name.
We often leave that out, of receiving the forgiveness. We confess, but we have to receive what He gives back to us.
And I think I laid my hand on her shoulder, and as she finished that prayer of reception, she just kind of slumped to the floor. Now, some of you may not be familiar with what in some churches they might call being slain in the spirit or being asleep in the spirit, and it's a biblical thing. You read it in Paul in Acts on the road to Damascus, and she was just laid there on that hardwood floor. And so I knelt down beside her and just continued to pray that God would bless her, that He'd bring into her what He wanted to give her. It was obvious that she had had a profound experience with Him.
And you know, that's not the first time we've ever seen that, because we underestimate the power that is imparted into us when we received the forgiveness that God has for us. Forgiveness is a powerful medicine for our bodies, our souls, our minds. And when He imparts it into us, sometimes we just have a hard time reconciling that.
The power of the Holy Spirit is more than what most of us are used to, and it can literally overcome us physically. And sometimes, you know, there may be tears or something to come.
So we weren't shocked by this, but we were kind of in awe that God had done it.
In our congregation, that was not something that happened frequently.
No.
And, you know, I've been in churches where people expected to be slain in the spirit when they went up for prayer.
It's a far different thing from when God really imparts His powerful presence into us.
Yeah, you observe there what I used to call mercy falls. People would think their prayer wasn't doing any good if the recipient didn't.
Well, let's don't go there. That's a whole other story.
It is. But nonetheless, she was lying on the floor, and I went on and prayed for several more people in the line, and a number of maybe 10 minutes went by, maybe 15 minutes, and she was still lying, stretched out there on the floor, and we asked our worship leader to lead us in some more songs. We prayed, and as time had passed, I would just pray a blessing, general blessing, over everyone who was there and have a benediction. We didn't normally last more than an hour and a half or so. Well, when all of that was over and people began to leave, Rosemary was still on the floor back there. And I knew she lived on the other side of Mobile Bay and had ways to go to get home. And I was concerned about her driving home. And I found out that she had ridden with another lady in the church who lived over there, who was not in a hurry to get home and would get her home safely. But this, you know, time continued to go by, and he told her ride, why don't we go back there and let's just gently wake up Rosemary and you can take her home. We did, and she was embarrassed that she had been on the floor that long, but she was...
She sort of lost track of time, didn't she?
She really did. And, you know, everybody had gone. She was amazed that she would have been in there with just two or three of us left.
So she'd been talking to the Lord all this time in some way. We don't understand why.
He had been impressing on her his presence.
Okay.
And
she'd been receiving.
Yeah, she had been receiving from him in those ways that only he can do it. So... we went home and we were talking about, you know, that Rosemary obviously had been touched by the Lord. And that was probably a Tuesday night. And I think maybe Thursday morning, I got a call in the office. I was busy working on the sermon for Sunday and not thinking about Rosemary. And she called and said, Conley, you're not going to believe this, but God healed my knees Tuesday night. And I was not thinking about her getting healed or thinking about the Tuesday night service, was not as empathetic as I wished I normally would be. And I said, oh, that's great, you know, and we talked about it a little bit.
Oh, you gave her the automatic response.
Oh, yeah. I said, well, let's just offer a prayer of thanksgiving, you know, trying to be real...
pastoral.
Very pastoral, right? And we had a brief prayer. And, you know, I said, I need to go now unless there's something else you want to talk about. And she didn't, so... that was my only conversation with her during the week. I normally went home for lunch at that time, talked to Signa, told her that Rosemary had called. We were both, you know, pleased that she had received something, but I don't think we even talked about it a great deal because I wasn't going into all the detail that I guess I could have. Well, Sunday morning during the service, I was aware that Rosemary, as usual, was in church, and we were in an old building with a real wide central aisle. And when I was up at the altar rail giving out communion, I could look up the central rail, and I would frequently see Rosemary coming up that central aisle with a cane in each hand.
Now, you have to remember, we had these old tile. What do you call them? Mosaic tiles in the floor. Mm-hmm. So they were kind of uneven. It wasn't real smooth, but you walked down this mosaic tile aisle, and then you had three or four
marble steps to get up.
To come up to where the communion rail was. So it wasn't real handicap friendly.
It was not. We even had a big brass rail in the middle of those steps.
And we had ushers who would assist you. So there was lots of help, but still, it was a struggle if you had issues.
Right. And that day when I looked up, I saw Rosemary coming down that center aisle. She didn't have her canes. I thought, oh my goodness, I hope the usher is down there at the steps because I don't want her to fall. Because she couldn't normally use the brass rail because she had a cane in each hand. Anyway, I was conscious that when she was coming up, I was somewhat distracted, I have to admit. And I looked, and she walked those steps, and she just walked up those steps like everybody else. And I thought, you know, God must have really done something. And we would have maybe 12 or 15 people kneeling at the altar rail to receive communion. And then there would be a few people lined up there in the chancel area waiting to take their turn. In that congregation, it was the typical custom for people to kneel at the rail, but if they're having trouble kneeling, they would just stand up and extend their hands, receive the bread, and we had the chalice bearer to give them wine out of the common cup. And Rosemary had never knelt because she couldn't kneel. And I was conscious that she had approached the altar rail, and she just knelt down there like everybody else. And I thought, oh my goodness. So while I was administering the bread to people before her, I had her in my vision out of the corner of my eye. And as I came over there to her, she had this big smile on her face. And as I put the bread in her hand, she winked at me, which was a bit of a surprise. You know, I'd been a priest for 10 years or so, but Signa had never winked at me when I gave her communion.
And I was the only one who was allowed to at that time.
But, yeah,
but it never occurred to me to wink at him during communion.
Well, you hadn't had occur to you what Rosemary had achieved, because in that wink, it was like she was saying, look what our Jesus has done for me.
Isn't that so?
I mean, she was just so excited that he loved her enough to bring her the healing that she had so much been desiring.
Isn't that simple gesture? It speaks volumes.
Well, knowing her history and what had occurred, it was amazing what was communicated to me out of that big smile and that wink. And that was 20 years ago, and to my knowledge, she has not picked up those canes since then.
Well, it was a real miracle, and we all rejoiced. And she was so willing to talk about it. She would tell anybody who would stay still long enough to listen if she could.
It wasn't about her from her perspective. It was about Jesus.
I think the takeaway from this is, even though we think at one point in time, I've done everything I know to do, I've confessed everything I can think of, I'm still as miserable as I was, this doesn't work. I've done it. And I think every one of us has probably been at that point at one time or another.
Right.
Rosemary was. But Jesus, do you really want to be whole? Do you really?
Yes. Oftentimes, our time schedule and Jesus's do not coincide. Rather than second guess God, we're just thankful that he moves when he does, as he chooses, because he is sovereign.
Well, it was a most remarkable experience, and we're so thankful for this day, for the miracle we saw in Rosemary and the miracle we saw in our friend who had OCD so badly. And there is no limit to what God can do. It's just like in the Pool of Bethesda, where we're waiting, where we're maybe even lost hope, waiting and waiting and waiting for that perfect moment that seems like it will never come. And Jesus walks in our midst. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he might say something so preponderous to us. It's the least thing we expect. And healing comes. We want you to be so expectant for your miracle, whatever it is you're yearning for, you're praying for, you've almost given up hope for, you've been waiting for. Just look for him. Where is he? What is he saying to you? Listen to his voice.
The risen Lord still walks among us.
And he still heals.
Yes, he does.
God bless you, and may God be in your midst this day, this week, this month, this year. May you receive the miracle he has for you. We love you and we bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Yellow Sofa, Modern Day Miracles. To find out more about the Bodish Baz ministry and to connect with them, visit www.signabodishba.com. The link for that is in the show notes. Special thanks to Daniel Matthews of Rockwell and John Rhodes of Rhodes Recording for producing this podcast. You can learn more about them by visiting their links in the show notes. Finally, if you're enjoying this podcast, consider leaving a review and sharing it with a friend. It truly helps.